For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, September the 3rd, 1999. Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Labor Day weekend, 1999. Dr. Bill Nell, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise your name. Today I talked to the men about some basic things about your basic attitude towards deliverance. And we said that you had to be honest, that God loves an honest heart, doesn't like a liar. It says in Revelation that all liars are going to be cast into the pit of fire, locked out of the holy city. Anybody who loves and practices a lie. You have to be honest. You have to be honest with God about why you want deliverance, honest about your hurts, honest about your past sins, and so forth. Then you have to repent. And we said repentance was a spirit from God. It says in 2 Timothy that if perhaps God will grant them repentance. That repentance is, first in the Hebrew, it means to change your mind, to decide it's wrong. I mean, in the Greek, it means to change your mind and decide it's wrong. In Hebrew, it means to turn away from it and not do it anymore. And today we're going to talk about the sins of the fathers. What your parents and your ancestors have done affects your life today. We are all, in the Old Testament, people felt hopeless because if their parents sinned, they had to live with the consequences of sin, and there wasn't a lot they could do about it. And they just gave up and said, our parents and grandparents and parents through them have sinned so much and it's sinful us to try to change because God's wrath is upon us. And Jesus came to put an end to that, but I want you to look at the biblical basis for the sins of the fathers. I want you to see it in Scripture and see God's remedy for it. I want you to understand the consequences of it and see how God applies His remedy to it. Because we're all, if you're under the law, you're under a curse. It says in James, all that are under the law are under a curse. Why are they under a curse? Because there was an exact set of laws given by God to Moses. And he had the people stand on two different mountains. And they repeated these laws and said, cursed is anybody who. And they put out the laws. And when they got through, they all said, amen. We accept that. And that became God's law. Before the law was given, there was no consciousness of sin. But after the law was given, there was sin. Before the time of Jesus Christ, Paul said that God winked at. He said that in Athens. He stood up and said, before Jesus came, God winked. He let everybody go their own way, and he winked at their sin. But now he's called everyone to account by which he will judge the world. Now let's look at Exodus 34. Now here, in Exodus 34, you remember that Moses went up on the mount, got the law, came down, was holding the tablets, and he saw the people had turned into idolatry, and he threw them down and broke them. And then God said to him, get a second set and come back up. And so him, it starts off chapter 1, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablet stones like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words which were on the second tablets which you broke. And then Moses did that. And look at verse 5. Well, verse 4, he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Moses rose up early in the morning early in the morning, and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him. He took in his hands the two tablets of stone. Then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, the name in Hebrew is the nature. Did you know that when you proclaim something in the name of Jesus Christ, you are proclaiming it by His authority and by His nature? Think on that one. We'll go on. I don't want to get off on that rabbit trail. And he proclaimed the name, so he proclaimed his nature. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Forgives. Then he says, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. What does that mean, by no means clearing the guilty? You've got a new American standard that says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. And that is the nature of God. And you say, surely that's just one verse. No, he says that in Lamentations 5:18. He says that in Exodus 4-6, in Numbers 14:18, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, in Isaiah 67:7. He says in Amos 4:2, in Jeremiah 32:18, to name a few. The nature of God is that He will recompense the iniquities of the fathers into the bosom of the children to the third and fourth generations. That means at least 3 to 4 generations. In some cases, it goes to 10 generations. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. One of an illegitimate birth shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. A bastard child cursed for 10 generations. All right, let's look at number 3. Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord even to the 10th generation. Well, who were the Ammonites and the Moabites? They were children of Lot by his daughters. You remember that Lot and his two daughters, his wife she looked back and got turned into a pillar of salt. They went in, they lived in a cave, and his daughters got him intoxicated and became impregnated by him. And raised up the tribe of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And God honored those people. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, He said, you shall not attack them. He made them walk all the way around. And He never attacked the Ammonites and the Moabites. And so anyone who's a product of incest is bound, is cursed for 10 generations. Well, where does it say that? Well, let me give you an example of it in the Old Testament. You remember the prophecy, turn to Genesis chapter 49. It says in Genesis 49:8, it talks about Jacob is prophesying over his son Judah. And it says, Judah, you are he whom his brothers shall praise. His name means praise. If you come on down to verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh come. There he's saying that the kings will arise out of the tribe of Judah. But we all know that Saul, the first king of Benjamin, arose out of Benjamin, not out of Judah. Now, was the prophecy wrong? Well, let us look at the heritage of Judah. Turn back to Genesis. I have to stop. I can't ever remember which chapter it is. Let's see here. In Jacob's family sins with 38. In chapter 38, if you'll see that Judah married a daughter of Cana. And he bore, since she bore him, some sons. We won't read this whole chapter, but there it is for you to read. And she bore him two sons, and his sons were evil, and they died. First one took a wife, and she died. I mean, he died. And so, as the Hebrew custom was, he gave the wife to his second son. Well, his second son did not wish to bear a son that would bear his brother's name, so he spilled his seed on the ground, and God killed him. And he had a third son, was a little younger. And he told his daughter-in-law, go home to your father's house, and when he grows up a little bit more, I'll give you to him. Well, he got to thinking, you know, he said, you know, two of my boys died with that girl. And so he got her another wife, got him another wife. And Tamara said, you know, I don't think the old man's going to give me that boy. And so she veiled her face and went. She knew that he was going up to look after his house. So she sat by the side of the road and she veiled her face. Now, the Hebrew custom was, if they veiled the Hebrew woman's face was exposed. But if she veiled a prostitute, veiled their face so you wouldn't know who it was. And she veiled her face and went and sat beside the road and pretended that she was a Zoite. That is a temple prostitute. And so the old man came by. He lay with her and left her a pledge of his ring and his staff. And he went on. And then he sent somebody back with the goat, and the woman wasn't there. And he said, well, let's let her go. And then he heard that his daughter-in-law was impregnated by Halak, by being a harlot. And so he said, let's bring her out and burn her up. And so she sent him the staff and the ring and said, whose are these? And he said, oh, my goodness, they're mine. He said, you've been more righteous than I. And so she bore him two children. She bore him twins. And the twins' names were Perez and Zerah. Perez and Zerah. Now let us turn to Matthew chapter 1 and look at the genesis of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamara. There we are. The children of incest in the line of Jesus. Perez got Haran. Haran begot Ram. Ram got Abadan. Abadan got somebody else. And Shasham got Salmon. And Salmon got Boaz by Rahab. You all know who Rahab was? Another harlot. And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. And Ruth begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. And so David, if you take and you count the generations from Judah to Jesse, you'll find it's 10 generations. David was the first generation beyond David in which the curse of incest was broken. Israel cried out for a king, and God gave them a king, not from the tribe of Judah, because the 10th generation had not passed. It's there, count it out, it's all there. And so, David was the first one of that line that could be chosen king. He was out of the curse of incest. I'd like to say that I had that God showed all that to me, but I got it from Derek Prince. But that's the curse of incest. It goes down through the family line for 10 generations. The curse of incest is a terrible curse. Incest is called the closet sin. It reproduces itself within the family. Nobody talks about it. It's hidden. But it is a terrible victimization. And it will go from generation to generation to generation. It tends to come again and again and again to extend the curse. And with it comes in terribly, terrible whoredom spirits, homosexual spirits, insanity spirits, vagabond spirits. Illegitimacy does the same. Brother Gene Moody in his manual back there has some excellent studies that show that children of illegitimate, of following through families with illegitimate children were born illegitimate. And the number of the curse, the results of the outworking of that curse, of children being mentally retarded, children being insane, children having epilepsy, children having horrible problems. These studies have been done over and over again. And the results of godly people being married, staying away from the curse of incest and the curse of illegitimacy. Our country today is riddled with illegitimacy. You need, if you have a child or a grandchild who was conceived out of wedlock, you need to break the curse of illegitimacy over him. You need to stand on the scripture, authority in the household, and break that curse so it won't replicate, so the results of it won't come through their life. In the name of Jesus. Those are curses of sins of the fathers. Leviticus 18. Let's look at this rather briefly. I don't know if I'll ever get through all of this. But let's look quickly at Leviticus 18. I want you, if you read this in the old King James, it speaks that you shall not uncover the nakedness. Uncover the nakedness means to have sexual intercourse with, basically. And it speaks there of incest, and it covers all possible combinations of parents with their children, either natural children or adopted children or stepchildren. It's forbidden. It's forbidden to have sex during a woman's menstrual period. It's from oral genital sex will bring a curse upon you. There are lots of preachers today who take the Song of Solomon and they interpret it to say that you can do anything you want to. And it's very liberal. They have very liberal interpretation. You know, if you will let me pick verses out, single verses out, let me interpret them to say it means it's that I can justify anything. You know, I can take, if you let me take single verses out, I show you that you ought to go out and hang yourself. Furthermore, you ought to do it today. Yeah. Scripture says Judas went out and hung himself. Jesus said, you go do likewise. Whatever you're going to do, go do it today. Those are all scriptures taken out of context. Single scriptures taken out of context. Very dangerous to take one single scripture. You should read 6-8 above and 6-8 below to see what the context is in which it's given. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. I'll just leave this for you to look at. And look at verse, I just want you to look at verse 18 first. Let's look at verse 30 in Leviticus 18. It says, therefore you shall keep my ordinance so that you not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you do not defile yourselves by them. For I am the Lord your God. I can show you that when you commit an abominable act, you become an abomination to God. It says so in Deuteronomy 18. If you keep an abominable thing in your home, you bring an idol into your home, you become an abominable thing like it, an accursed thing doomed to destruction. Bring a cute little Buddha into your house. Oh, it looks so pretty. Look at that. It's made of jade. Got a little diamond in its belly. It just shines so. You got this little, you know, this little calendar from Mexico that the little man was sticking his tongue out. That's an idol. Well, that's part of my heritage, but it's an idol to a foreign god. Are you a Christian? Or do you believe in the Malayan gods which require human sacrifice to cut the heart out while you're still alive? No, I don't believe in that. Well, that's what that god stands for. You keep that thing in your house, it's an abomination to God, and you become an abomination like it. A thing doomed to destruction. You want to see that in Scripture? Well, okay, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 25. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. But you shall utterly detest it and abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. You need to walk through your houses. Go in the room, each room, and pray in tongues and look around and see if there's anything in there. Of course, you need to read other things that you obviously know are idols. Horoscopes, signs of the zodiac, things that these people have worshipped, primitive art from Africa and from Haiti. You know, I had some, my son brought me back a drum from Haiti with goat skin on it, you know, and some big bookends. And I kept them downstairs. And we employed this lady who worked for us, who was turned out later to be the witch. I won't go into the long story. But she told my wife, she said, have Doc put my money under one of them bookends. Why? Because when he does that, I always win when I go to bingo. And I went down there and looked at those things, and I said, oh. And so, anyway, God witnessed to me that we should burn them, and I burned them. The night that we burned them, God really began to show me what I should burn, and I burned my son's library and my library and all the bookends. I had to pay my son $2,500 for his library, the things that I burned in it. He had all kind of books of mythology, and they just bothered me, so I pitched them. But I learned something there. I learned you can't burn things that don't belong to you, because God really convicted me. You can't go burn somebody else's stuff. All it was in my home. It was in his room. But you need to get rid of those things. I burned a lot of stuff that day. I remember we was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had my tractor, my little yard tractor with my little dumpster behind it, and I was loading stuff in it and hauling it to the back part down to the river where I'd built this big bonfire, and I was throwing it up there, and my neighbor came down. So 2 o'clock, I said, Doc, is that you? I said, yeah, that's me. He said, you drunk? What are you doing? I said, I just burned up some trash, Wilbur. He said, you drunk? I said, no, man, I'm sober, I'm fine. He said, well, what in the Sam Hill are you doing at 2 in the morning? I said, well, I don't have time to do it the other time. I'm just burning. You're going back to bed. He said, man, I was about to call the fire department because I had this huge blaze. But we burned up that night a lot of stuff. But you know something? I burned up lots of stuff that night. I'd cleansed my house once before, but this time, I burned everything I could think of that even a little bit bothered me. And that's what you need to do. You need to go through, get rid of the things that are obvious. I'd done that. But then you need to go sit in the room and pray and say, God, is anything in here that affects you? Anything in here, Lord, that's offensive to you, that makes me an abomination to you? You say, well, where does it say you? Right there it says it. And it also says it over here in Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18:9, here he's talking about the occult, and he says, verse 9, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. And then verse 12, it says, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. You do the abominable act, you become an abomination to God. And that means a stench in his nostrils. It's a bad smell. You stink. You got B.O. You ever been in a room with somebody that really stunk real bad? You know, if we all didn't bathe, you know we couldn't smell each other? You know, if all of us didn't bathe and we all had B.O., you know it wouldn't bother us at all. That's right. But when you walk in the room and you've been clean and you've used Dial and used your deodorant and you walk in the room and there's somebody ain't bathed in a month and been out there sweating, boy, and stinking anymore, you smell, oh, God. That's the way you spell to God when you got something like that in your house. Well, I've gone sort of astray here. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I will just touch on this because I could spend another 2 hours on it. I once went through this chapter and listed for Glenn all the diseases spoken of here, and it covers every system. I mean, it covers everything. But it says here, he said, now, starting chapter 1, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and carefully observe all of his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Did you get that now? You don't have to seek these blessings. They're going to run down the road and overtake you. Blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. You shall be blessed in your basket and in your kneeling bowl. You shall be blessed when you come in, you'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They'll come against you in one way and flee seven. The Lord will command the blessings in your storehouses in which you set your hand and will bless you in the land He's giving you and will establish you as a holy people to Himself as He's sworn and will keep and walk in His ways, and all the people in the world will know it, and so forth on down to the 14th chapter, 14th verse. And then the 15th verse says, it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to carefully observe all His commandments and statutes I command you today. All these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Means you can't run fast enough to get away from them. You shall be cursed in the city, cursed in the country, cursed in your basket and your kneeling bowl. Cursed be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and your cattle and your offspring. You know, it's all the blessings are now getting cursed. And He will send, verse 20, He will send cursing and confusion, rebuke you in your hand, you will destroy it. And the plague will cling to you and will strike you with consumption, with fever and inflammation and scorching fever and with a sword and scorching and mildew and pursue you till you perish. You'll be defeated before your enemies and flee seven ways. You'll have boils on you and tumors and scabs and itch and hemorrhoids. I'm going to tell you, people, hemorrhoids are a bad curse.
Amen.
Those of you who ain't had them, I'll tell you, they are a bad curse. They have the hemorrhoids. God sent the hemorrhoids on the five nations of the Philistines when they stole the Ark of the Covenant. And man, they were all lying around, and the hemorrhoids were hanging out, crying, and said, oh, God, what do we do? And they said, well, and so they made some golden hemorrhoids and some golden rats, because he turned the rats loose too. And they put them on, and they got two milk cows that just had calves. And you ever have seen a cow that just had a calf? Man, you can't separate them from that calf. She'll fight you to death. And so they took the calves and left them there alone and put those milk cows and said, now, if it walk, they leave and walk over to Israel, it's going to be the hand of God. But they come back to the calves, it's going to be by chance. And they walked right over to Israel and bore the ark away with those. So don't send it away. Don't ever make an offering to God that costs you nothing. Don't ever make an offering to God that costs you nothing. You remember when David had sinned against God, and he. And God told him he'd build an altar on the threshing floor of Oren and offer sacrifice, that he'd break the plague over the people and the folks would stop dying. And he went up there and Oren said, I give it to you. He said, you take the threshing floor, take the oxen over there and burn up the sledges here, got grain, everything. I give it to you. And he said, no, I'll pay you a fair price for it, because I will not make an offering to God that costs me nothing. God said, don't come before him empty-handed. Now, you can, if you don't have any money, you can make an offering of praise. But offering your best, people. Offering your best. I was once in a church, and I was in the Casio movement. They didn't have anything to store this stuff in, and I was scoutmaster, and I had a bunch of footlockers, old army footlockers, and I had three or four sort of beat up. I painted them up for the Casio movement, and I was loading them in my back of my car, and God spoke to me and said, is this the best you got? I said, no, Lord, I got three new ones in there. He said, to try offering these to the governor of the state and see how he feels about them. I took them back and went and got three new ones and painted them, called them and told them to be another day before I get them there. And then I carried the new ones in and I gave them to God's service. Still got the old ones, still use them. Don't make a sacrifice to God that don't cost you anything, and always give him your best. That's a little aside from what we're talking about, but it just came out. God is gracious God. All the gold and the silver and the cattle of a thousand hills is his. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. Just give when he tells you to. Be obedient to his spirit. Okay. Another curse that we'll look at here, one that's very common, is in Hosea chapter 4. We need to move on. I apologize to you. Sometimes I go down and I digress. I remember I was at Jack Havert, and Jack Havert said, pardon me while I digress a minute. 45 minutes later, Jack came back. So I digress occasionally. Let's look at, this is in Hosea chapter 4, we find the whoredom curse. The curse of whoredom. This is a curse from people being idolatrous, worshiping idols, and chasing after being sexually immoral. Now, God considers sexual intercourse outside of marriage an act of worship to Satan. He ties idolatry and sexual immorality hand in glove all the way through the prophets. You will see that idolatry and sexual immorality go hand in glove. It's because you're worshiping yourself and you're worshiping your pleasure. It's self and self-pleasure. You're not following God's way when you're fornicating, committing adultery. That's not God's way. If it's not God's way, then it's rebellion, it's idolatry, stubbornness. Now, God ties them together. All primitive religions have sexual immorality woven into them. You can't go to Africa and see the primitive religions and not see sexual immorality. Baal and Asherah were goddesses of sexual immorality. The great goddess Diana at Ephesus supported her temple with 2,000 Zonites, which are temple prostitutes. The Zonites in Astra, you know what the Astra poles were? They were phallic symbols, huge phallic symbols. And they were nothing but houses of prostitution. They had Zonites there. You took an offering in to the gods, and you had sex with either a male Zonite or a female. They had both kinds. If you read in the Bible, you'll see they ran the male prostitutes out of the temple. Whenever they fell away, male prostitutes and female prostitutes came and lived in the temple of God. Okay, let's look at what he says here. He says, Hosea chapter 4, 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. I don't want to hear it. I want to do what I want to do. I will reject you from being a priest for me, and because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. One of the curses in Deuteronomy says that somebody's going to take your kids away, and you'll strain and you'll look for them to come back, and you'll go blind looking out the window hoping they'll come back. That's happened today in our time. Come on down here to verse 10. You shall eat and not have enough, gluttony. Commit idolatry and not increase, sterility. Whoredom, whoredom and wine and new wine enslave the heart. People ask counsel of their wooden idols. Their divination rod informs them. The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. They played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifice on the mountaintops, burn incense on the hills. Therefore your daughters will commit whoredom, and your brides will commit adultery. And he said, I won't punish them, for the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. That's a Zonite, a temple priestess. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled or earned. That's the curse of whoredom. With that comes into your family line homosexuality, lesbianism, transvestites, peeping toms, child pornographers, pedophiles, people who prey on children, sexual predators. They come in through this curse. It's a perverse spirit. It's called a spirit of perversion, a perverse spirit. And it can have all those manifestations because of the sins of the fathers. How many people have you ministered to that are men who have disordered sexual preference, and they say, well, I've always been a girl in a boy's body. Well, what's happened is this spirit came in when they were born. And you have to stand against it. cast it out, break the curse. It's a curse of whoredom because of the family, and it runs. If you look in the family, you'll see it back in there. I have young men come in and talk to me. They were molested when they were children by their fathers. Their fathers were molested by their fathers. And it's just gone down through the family line. And the brothers molested the sisters. Young man got saved and he came to me. And he said, I want to get this thing out of me. I don't want to molest my children. I'm scared to get married and have children. Because I know there's something in me. Big kid. I mean about this tall construction worker. Sat right back down there on that back row back there. And I began to pray for him and break these curses. And I made a mistake. I didn't bind him in a chair. And man, he rose. Ooh! He looked like he's 8 feet tall when that thing roared. And I said, I bind you. And some people are going to try to hold him down. I said, don't do that, man. I bind you. And I held him with one finger in the spirit. Bound that thing. I made it come out. Come out of me in the name of Jesus. Now, nobody in there knew what I was calling out of him. No people around. I got out. Everybody get back 10 feet. And I spoke quietly to him, and I broke all the curses. That thing came out with a roar. I mean, the ceiling shook when it came out. Irma knew what it was. Irma saw it. She said, she told me what it was. That's right. Mother Irma, she got good discernment. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But those things come in because of the sins of the fathers. Praise you, Lord God. Look at, you know, one day I was in the neonatal intensive care unit taking care of a little 2-pound premature that had had serious respiratory difficulty, and we'd drawn so much blood out of him to keep checking his blood gases and keep checking his electrolytes and keep him in balance. He was getting anemic. We'd taken so much blood out to check all these things. And we had to give him a blood transfusion. There was only one thing. Both parents were Jehovah Witnesses. I could get a court order Saturday night, and I didn't want to have to get the judge up out of bed, you know, and I didn't realize him Jehovah's Witnesses until I talked to him about blood transfusion. Oh, no. And so, praise God, I wept over that child, and God gave me a verse. And the verse was Jeremiah 31:29. Let's look at it. And you know, I called my spiritual mentor at the time, and he said, are these parents Christian? I said, no. He said, I don't have any basis to go before God to ask that God to heal that child. And this is when God gave me the verse. Praise you, Lord God. And it says him, 31:29, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers had eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in that day when I took them out of Egypt. And my covenant which they broke as a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is a covenant I will make with them. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. As the new covenant. I can read it to you a half a dozen other places. But I said, what does that mean, God? And then he led me to Galatians 3:16. Just look at Galatians 3:16. You can get the comparative verse for that is Ezekiel 18:2. But let's go now to Galatians 3:13. I'm sorry. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. In Christ Jesus we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I read that verse, and I said, I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I stand for this poor, helpless child in the name of Jesus Christ, and I break the curse of Jehovah, of being a Jehovah's Witness in the name of Jesus Christ, of being a worshiper of a false God, and I speak healing and restitution to this baby in the name of Jesus Christ, and I declare that he shall not be anemic and he shall not need blood, but he shall be healed in Jesus' name. And the telephone rang. I mean, I hadn't gotten through playing, and the phone rang, and the nurse said, Dr. Doyle, something miraculous has happened. He said, the baby's saturation kept going up. He says, he's off of oxygen now, and he looks fine. So we don't understand what's happened to him. I said, God has healed him. God has healed him. Because I broke the curse of the law. Because Jesus was made a curse for us that you do not have, that you can be delivered from the curse of the law. Now, it wasn't automatic for that child. It ain't automatic for you. There are people who will tell you it's automatic, but it's not automatic at all. There's one other place I want to talk to you about the results. I want you to turn to Lamentations, chapter 5 now. Remember, Lamentations is right after Jeremiah, between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And we'll look at the last chapter in Lamentations, verse 7. Now, there were some of you will say, show me in the Bible where it says you've got to repent of the sins of your ancestors. Well, keep your finger there in Lamentations, and let's go over here to to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26:40 is a long prayer. I'll just read this one verse. But if they will confess their iniquities, the iniquities of their fathers and their unfaithfulness, which they were unfaithful to me and which they were contrary to me, confess the iniquity of your fathers. Now, let's look at Jeremiah. Our fathers sinned and we are no more. We bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. They're in bondage. One of the results of the sins of the fathers is bondage. There's none to deliver us from their hand. We get bread at the risk of our lives. Poverty. How many of you are having problems with your finances? One of the curses that can come upon you from the sins of the fathers is poverty. Also the curse of the vagabond, which I won't try to go in today. Because of sword in the wilderness, our skin is hot as an oven because of fever of famine, infirmity, your sickness comes down upon you. They ravish the women in Zion and the maidens in the cities of Judah. Rape. You know, rape is a spiritual thing. There's a spirit of rape. There's a spirit of rape that gets into a man and he transmits it. The woman gets raped, the spirit comes into her. That's the reason she's 3 to 5 times more likely to be raped again than somebody who's never been raped. You have somebody, you're working with somebody that's been raped, you demand that break the curse of rape over and demand that that spirit of rape come out of her in the name of Jesus. Princes are hung up by their hands and elders are not respected. That's abuse. Young men grind the millstones and boys stagger on the loads of wood. Hard labor. Elders have ceased gathering at the gate and young men from their music. Isolation. The joy of our heart has ceased and our dances turn to mourning, sadness and heaviness. The crown has fallen off our hand. Woe to us, we sin. They've fallen. Because of this, our heart is faint, faint-hearted, scared, fear. Because of these, our eyes grow dim, blindness. Because Mount Zion is desolate, with foxes walking about it, you have desolation. O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget forever and forsake us for a long time? Now get this. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we shall be restored. Turn us back. Now that's the same word used for repent. God, let us repent. Turn us so that we might repent. Renew us in our days of old. Unless you have utterly rejected us and you were very angry with us. People, all of those things, I want you to look at that. Those, if you see the fruit in your life of infirmity, of bondage, of poverty, if you've got an adequate income, make good money, but you're always overdrawn at the bank, and you got more bills at the end of the month than you got paycheck. That's poverty. That's the spirit of poverty. That's what it means when it's got a hole cut in the bottom of the sack. You know, you keep putting those wages in there and they keep running out. It's just not enough to go around. But you should have enough. Other people around you don't make any more than you. They seem to be prospering and doing well. Man, you're in debt. Ever know ever Tom, Dick, and Harry and every credit card in the country? That's poverty. Something wrong. It's the spirit of poverty. It needs to be broken over you. It can come from the sins of your fathers. Infirmity spirits, rape, abuse, stuck with hard labor, laboring hard all the time and just can't get ahead. Isolation, feel like you're always isolated, friendliness, you got sadness and heaviness and can't get away, faint-hearted, fearful, blind. It can be spiritual blindness or physical blindness, and just feel desolated. Those are the results of the sins of the fathers. And what do? You say, oh God, turn me from my sin. Turn me, Lord God. We confess the iniquities of our fathers. We ask, Lord, that you forgive them and break this curse over me. But Jesus was made a curse for me. He bore this curse that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Repent and turn away. I tell you, one of the first teachings I ever heard Sister Irma give, Sister Irma said if we could get people to truly repent, turn from their sin and from their greed and from their selfishness and their self-centeredness, and get their eyes on Jesus, repent of their sins, demons would come out howling because they have no legal grounds. We need to repent, people. You need to ask God to grant you the spirit of repentance. You need to turn. I tell you, people, if God convicts you of a sin, turn quickly. Keep short accounts with God. If you're doing something and God witnesses to you that it's wrong, stop right then and turn away from it. Turn away. I don't care how embarrassing it is. Turn away from it. And ask God to forgive you and give you the spirit of repentance so you can walk away and not do it again. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those are the sins of the fathers. There are lots of other curses. Let me look at one other curse. Let's turn to Psalm 107, 109. There's one other curse that comes down through the family line. It's called the vagabond curse. Now, this is a psalm that Peter used when he was speaking of Judas Iscariot. And let's look at verse 5 here, 109:5. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Now, I don't know of anything that says so many bad things as when you reward somebody evil for good. Somebody's been good to you and you go stick them the knife in the back. The Bible has got more bad things to say about that than anything I know of right now. I got 7 cross references. Let's just look at this one in Proverbs. Proverbs, keep your hand in hand. Turn over to Proverbs 17:13. I think that's right. Proverbs 17:13 says, "Whosoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house." That word house means family, your descendants. Evil will not depart, it says. So if you've got an ancestor who cheated, stole from people, tricked them, you need to repent of that sin and ask God to break that curse on you. Because it says evil will not depart from your house. Now, Also, you can look at Psalm 35:12. You can look at Psalm 7:4, 38:20, 1 Samuel 24:17, James 18:19 to 23, Psalm 69:21 to 28. Those are all cross references that you can look at. Okay. It says, "He has set a wicked man, let an accuser stand at his right hand, let him be judged and found guilty." And he's speaking of all the evil things that come to you from rewarding evil for good. And you just read them. And so, most of the, you see a great number of people who let their children become vagabonds. That's where the term the vagabond curse comes from. Let his children be vagabonds. What's a vagabond? Somebody can't stay put. You having trouble with your job, you know, you take a job and you stay there 3-4 months and you're not happy and you don't work out well and you quit and you go over here and you're not well over here and you go over here and you go over yonder and you move from city to city and job to job and you from church to church and you can't find your place. And you're a vagabond, a wanderer, what the word means. You need to break the vagabond curse over your life. And then you need to walk with Jesus. I had a friend, I had an acquaintance that I ministered to. And he was a perfect, you know, his life just fit this pattern. And we broke the curse. And he did fine for about a year. And then he got really angry. And he rewarded. And we had a, well, I really don't want to go on the situation on tape because you could pick out the people involved. I have to be very careful, of course. You never know where these tapes are going. But he got in a situation where he returned evil for good. And boom, it hit him again. And the last time I saw him, he just couldn't keep a job. He'd moved 3 different places. And his wife was a very nice Jezebel lady. And she was the martyr, but she contributed to him not being able to stand. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so the vagabond curse comes down through the family line. It can be broken by holding up the sins of your ancestors, asking forgiveness, breaking the curse on the grounds of Jesus Christ, and then walking before God, keeping a clear conscience. And staying out of sin, keeping you watching your words very carefully. Don't sin with your mouth. It's very easy to sin with your tongue. Walking very carefully. People say, "How should I walk?" Well, I think you should walk this way. And I'll read it to you. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. All of chapter 4 is very, very good. It says here, chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary building up, that it might impart grace to the hearer." Now, if you could deal with your wife, gentlemen, that way all the time, never say anything but that which builds her up, edifies her, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness or rebellion, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, that's curses, be put away from you with all malice. But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave you. Walk that way, people, and the curses won't come back on you. And it starts by putting a guard over your mouth. And only let that which comes out bear grace to the hearer. It's necessary for the building up. Bear grace to the hearer. You know, you don't have to answer back. You don't have to let profanity come out of your life. You don't have to let crude jokes come out of your mouth. You mean, you know, you're afraid that you might not be one of the boys. And so you sit there and you listen to that crude junk. And after a while you become desensitized to it. Praise God. I told this to the men. I'll tell it again. The pastor was told this, use this demonstration, this example in his sermon Sunday. He said he had 2 sons. They were teenagers. And they were going over to the neighbor's house watching the HBO and the Encore and some other channel with the X, with not X-ray, but the R-rated movies, you know. And he said, boys, you shouldn't be watching that stuff. It's all dead. We're mature Christians. We can differentiate. That's not going to hurt us. And he kept talking, and they got the same answer. So that night when they came home, he had the table set for them, and there was some. He cooked some brownies for them. They were very fine brownies. He had a place set for them and put the bread out, had the milk out for them. Said, boys, I fixed you some brownies. I want you all to sit down and have some brownies with me. So they sat down, they picked up, he said, oh, the boys picked it up to take a bite. He said, oh, by the way, there's one thing I want to tell you. I just put a little dog poop in there when I cooked them. Not a lot, just a little bit. You won't taste it. You won't taste it. The sugar will cover it up. But the bad thing is, just like that pornography, it will poison your body. Just a little at a time. And it will poison you. But they look good. Smell good, taste good. You know what? They couldn't eat those brownies. In the same way, be careful what you let come into your eyes, go down into your heart. Because out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth will speak. What you let come in the eye gate, the ear gate, will go down into the heart. And it'll come out of your mouth, the fullness of your heart. And you'll grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You want to grieve God's Spirit? You know what happens when you grieve God? Well, it says in Isaiah 66, it's sort of a, it's one of them tough verses, you know, that the that a lot of folks will, Isaiah 63, will spiritualize for you, but I'll read it to you. In their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and he carried them. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. That's Isaiah chapter 63, verses 9 and 10. Now, a lot of my friends will spiritualize that verse, but I believe what it says. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. People, we've been talking about an hour now, a little over an hour, you know, that it said that the brain can only absorb what the rear end can endure. So I want everybody to stand up now and stomp their feet and get the blood circulating, get all the blood out of their legs and back up to their arms. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Let's hold up our hands and praise Him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise Him, people. Jump up and down a little bit. Get your blood circulating. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you and bless you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name. Glory to you, Lord God. Glory to you. The people, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and a confession. I say, dear Lord, I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected from the dead for my justification. He ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I am not a rejected child. I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I repent of the sins of my ancestors. I ask you to forgive them, Lord.
that the curse might be broken on me and my lineal descendants forever. But your word says in Galatians 3:13, Jesus Christ was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. I break all these curses. I break the curse of whoredom. The curse of idolatry. The curse of incest. Curse of illegitimacy. Curse of poverty. The curse, any other curse. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare myself free from them. Myself and my children forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I have another confession to make. I have sought knowledge apart from you. I ask forgiveness for seeking knowledge apart from you. I break the curse of the occult, of divination, of whoredom on my life and the lives of my children. Lord Jesus, there are people that I have resented, not loved, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me to forgive them. Lord Jesus, I do now forgive. This time we'll be very quiet. And whatever the Holy Spirit brings to mind, anyone that you're mad at, anyone that you have aught in your heart against, name them very quietly. I forgive Johnny. I forgive Jimmy. I forgive Joe. Just name them very quietly. It's important that you forgive. Because if you do not forgive, you're still in your sin. Lord Jesus, thank you. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, touch my heart. Set me free. Set me free from all the ungodly soul ties. To all these people, in the name of Jesus, I break all ungodly soul ties. And I call back all my soul, and release from me any foreign soul trapped in me. Lord Jesus, bless my enemies, those who curse me, those who use me, those who abuse me, in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Bring them to salvation in Jesus' name. Touch them, Lord, and heal me, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have committed sexual sin. I have lusted after things that I should not have. I confess it as sin. At this time, Lord, I confess any other sexual sin. And we'll have a quiet period. Anything that God brings to mind, you can do very quietly under your breath. Everybody look straight ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you, break all the ungodly soul ties. Set me free from the past. Cleanse me with your blood. Your word says, if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I accept your cleansing, Lord, and your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Now, Lord Jesus, you know what bothers me. You know the thing that is binding me. You know the thing that's tormenting me. You know all things. Deliver me, Lord. Your word says in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Deliver me now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody have a seat. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to have what's called a mass deliverance service. I want everybody to sit down, put both feet on the floor. You remember when you were little kids and it said you cross your fingers, you don't have to tell the truth? That's a witchcraft symbol. The devil is an absolute legalist. You got your feet crossed, he said he don't have to believe you because you got your feet crossed. Got your arms crossed, got your fingers crossed, got your toes crossed. They aren't telling the truth. They don't really mean that. Devil is a legalist. And so put both feet on the floor. Now I'm going to start calling out spirits. If something happens, let it happen. Spirits, a pneuma, which means air, and they generally come out through the breathing passage. Sometimes they come out through your ears, but most times they come out with a yawn or a cough or a sneeze, sometimes a scream. But whatever happens, let it happen. You're worried about your dignity? I say to you, you can get your dignity back. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back when it's over. When I went through my first mass deliverance service, I was on the third row right over there, and I threw up and fell on the floor and rolled in it. And I tell you, it didn't matter to me at all. I was so happy to get free. And I say to you, don't hold back. Let it go. Just let it go. We've got a lot of people here to help you. Don't pick and choose. Just agree with me as I call these things out. Okay? Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you, Lord. I ask you to send the angels now, send your war angels to gather up all the loose demons and to haul them off, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak divine protection over these people, Lord, who committed themselves to your care. I speak deliverance and healing to them now in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirit of rejection. I bind rejection in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected people. These are people of God. I break the power of rejection in the name of Jesus. I break the fear that comes with rejection. I bind fear. All the fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough. I bind rejection and fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind this fear and rejection in Jesus' name. And I say, come out and turn God's people loose. Turn them loose! Turn them loose, fear and rejection in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of lust in the name of Jesus. The lust of the world, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I break its power in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all fear of not being good enough, fear of not being wanted, fear of the dark, fear of failure. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you to be gone. And I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rebellion and bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break rebellion and witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of incest and idolatry in the name of Jesus and illegitimacy. And I break their power in the name of Jesus. And I command them to be gone. I break the power of the vagabond spirit in the name of Jesus. Vagabond, I bind you. I break your power and I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't torment God's people anymore. I break their power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of their cult now in the name of Jesus, of divination in the name of Jesus. I bind the serpentine devil and I say, come out, serpentine, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I break your power. I break the power of rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. For rebellion is a sin as a witchcraft. I break witchcraft and Jezebel in the name of Jesus. Jezebel, I bind you and I break your power. Come out. I break the power of bitterness in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. All all bitterness come out. I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power. Come on out, root of bitterness. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. And I bind bitterness in the name of Jesus. And I pull him out in Jesus' name. I bind anger and rage and hostility and hate and revenge and murder. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind heaviness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of heaviness and depression and suicide. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. I bind the spirits of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. I break your power and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of perfection. Come out. Come out, spirits of criticism, fault finding. Come out, spirits of fault finding, criticism in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of God's people. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out now. I bind the spirits of lust and insecurity and fantasy. I bind the spirit of fantasy in the name of Jesus. Come out, fantasy. Come out, fantasy, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of the love of money in the name of Jesus. Of manum, come out. Of greed, come out. Greed and poverty, I bind you and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of God's people. I praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Touch your people, Lord God. Touch your people, Lord. I bind the spirits of rebellion now in the name of Jesus. Of stubbornness. Stubborn self-will. I break your power. Come out, stubbornness. Come out of that stubbornness in the name of Jesus. Stubborn self-will. Come out. Being unteachable. Unteachable spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All stubborn, unteachable spirits. I break your power. All spirits of witchcraft. Witchcraft. Come out. Come out, mind control. I break your power of mind control. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. I isolate you from all other spirits. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. I break your power of mind control. Witchcraft mind control. Come out, Sylvian mind control. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all you serpentine devils. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of yoga, transcendental meditation. Come out. Come out. Come out, all you yoga spirits, all you Hindu spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you transcendental meditation spirits, all you relaxation spirits, come out. Come out. Come out, all the spirits of the yin and the yang. Come out, the yin and the yang spirits, come out. Come out now. All spirits of acupuncture and yin and the yang, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I come against the spirits of perverseness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the perverse spirit, the lesbian spirit, the homosexual spirit, the transvestite spirit in the name of Jesus, the peeping Tom spirit, the flasher spirit, the spirit of pedophile. I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all you lust spirits, the lust of the eye, all pornography spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone, all fornication spirits. All spirits of fornication. All spirits of adultery. All spirits of the whoremonger. I bind the whoremonger spirits. Whoremongering. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, whores. Spirit of the whore. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of God's people. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. Whoring after money. Come out. Whoring after pride, whoring after position, whoring after power on the job. Come out. Control of other people. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you whoring spirits. Whoring. Whoring after other things other than God. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I break your power. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there, you homosexual spirits, in the name of Jesus. Ah, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn them loose now. All perverseness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I break the power of illegitimacy in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rape in the name of Jesus. Rape spirits, come out. Come out of there, rape spirits. Come out. Come out, molestation spirits. Come out. Come out, all of you. Come out of there, molestation spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. Child molestations. Come out. Come out, all gentle sex spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, anal spirits, come out. Spirits of anal sex, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. We break your power. We break your power. Turn him loose. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I break the spirit of lying. I bind the lying spirit. I break the spirit of lying. Come out. The tale-telling spirit. Come out. The spirit of exaggeration. Come out. The gossip spirit. The gossip spirit. The tale-bearing spirit. The lying spirit. Come out. The critical spirit. Come out. Out. All of you. Out. Spirits of self-righteousness. I bind the spirit of self-righteousness. Religious spirits. Spirits of religious self-righteousness, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of religious self-righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break you, the Pharisee spirit, the lion spirit, the Pharisee spirits. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Leave God's people. You can't stay here. We bind you and we break your power. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I break the power of migraine headaches in the name of Jesus Christ. Migraine headaches, Jesus was made a curse for us so we might be delivered from the curse of the law. And by His stripes we've been healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I break the power of migraine headaches now. Migraine headaches, I break your power. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, migraine. Be gone, migraine. High blood pressure, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Bind the spirits of sinusitis, of allergy and sinusitis. Be gone, allergy and sinusitis. We break your power over these people. Be gone, allergy and sinusitis. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All spirits of asthma and bronchospastic reactive airway disease. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go! Turn it loose in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we bind the spirits now, Lord God. We bind the spirits of emphysema. We bind the spirits of lung trouble. We bind the spirits of heart trouble. We bind the spirits of congestive heart failure. We bind the spirits of emphysema. We bind the spirits of cancer. Cancer, I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirits of pleuridinia. We bind the spirits of empyema in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Fluid on the lungs, we break your power. Be gone. Bind all spirits of cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer the lung, cancer the colon, cancer the stomach, and all other cancers. Cancer the cervix, cancer the breast. Be gone. We bind the spirits in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. All diabetes, all arthritis, be gone. Praise you, Lord. All depression be gone. I bind the spirit of bipolar in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of bipolar in the name of Jesus. And I command multiple personalities to come out. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of multiple personalities. And I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, fill these people. Fill them, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, I bind the spirits now. I bind all the destroying spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind Alzheimer's disease, all destroying spirits, all heavy viruses, slow viruses, destroying viruses. I break the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill your people now, Lord God, with your healing grace. With your healing grace. Let your healing grace come down. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Fill them full. Lord, I speak the joy of the Lord to them in the name of Jesus, for the joy of the Lord is their strength.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.